our summer day. Welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Cogan. You're going to be hearing much of the night on a two-hour show, a rare wintertime two-hour show. The voice of Petra Van Noyes and her husband, Andy Brown. She sings, he plays the guitar. The newest CD is less than lyrical, and I'll tell you more about it. This city has a lot of people who are kind of under the radar, who we should know about, but they have not achieved the level of cheap celebrity that so many people find in this city. One of those people is my first guest, Stan Champion. You are a remarkable guy. We have never met face-to-face, but I have been hearing about you for roughly 30 years, and the kind of work you're doing, not only on the radio, not only with your music, but also as a community activist and a community uplifter. So it is my unbelievable pleasure to welcome you to the show. How are you, Stan?
Oh, I'm pretty well today, and thanks for having me on your show. I really appreciate that.
Well, you have a fascinating, fascinating background, and one of these days soon, and all you people look for, because there certainly will be a tribune in the year 2018, a story by me about this fellow. Because you've had a fascinating life. You were born in Pittsburgh, but you came to Chicago as a young man, yes?
Yes, exactly. My dad was in the Air Force, and we were living in Moses Lake, Washington, and that's where I was starting to go to school, and my brother was born out there. And then my parents separated around that time, and we ended up coming to where my folks had moved from Pittsburgh to Chicago.
What neighborhood did you first move into, Stan?
It was over on the west side, over there on Warren in California.
Mm-hmm. And you were drawn from a very, very young age, not only to music, but at the same time to the visual arts, weren't you? How did that happen? Because in some neighborhoods, you know, as you know better than anybody, in some neighborhoods in Chicago, young people are not given the opportunity to explore the arts in the way they might have been 70 years ago,
indeed, I was lucky in that way, but, you know, I was having a problem in school because of the separation of my parents, who I loved very much.
Sure.
And that it was just my escape. I could have gone one route or the other, but this was my way out to, you know, first sit down and start sketching and just using my imagination in that way. And I've always wanted to play the guitar because I've always liked the sound, but I never had a chance to have one, until later.
Well, you got your first guitar at 13, though, didn't you?
Right, exactly.
And the great thing about you, from what little I know about you, that's why I'm so excited to talk to you, your influences were very wide. Your influences were like Chuck Berry, Wes Montgomery, The Beatles, Bo Diddley, Albert King. Obviously, you were a kid that was open to any kind of music, weren't you?
It was because my mom, and actually, my uncle used to be the engineer for Sid McCoy's show, and he would be giving her all these promotional records, and that's what I was hearing in the house.
Wow!
It was such a great experience, and we listened to everything because she listened to everything, you know, all kinds of stuff, and that's what happened.
Stan Champion, do you remember the first song you learned to play on the guitar that you felt good enough about and said, oh my goodness, I can actually play a song? What variety of music was it? Do you remember?
Well, you know, I had a friend of my sister's that saw my guitar and said, hey, I can play this song. And it was just like a blues, Muddy Waters blues song. And he showed that to me. So the first thing was a little Muddy Waters blues.
That's an awfully, awfully nice place to start. My guest is Stan Champion. He's got a great, great website called Roots Rock Society. That's R-O-O. I'm not going to spell it for you. You people are smart. RootsRockSociety.com. It's a great website that'll let you hear some of his music. Then it seemed, Stan, and tell me I'm wrong, it seemed that visual art sort of predominated in your life for a while. You may have been playing the guitar with some seriousness, but you were driven by the visual arts for a while in your teenage years, yes?
Well, yes. I had a teacher in fifth grade who supposedly discovered me, and she sent me to the Art Institute Junior School. So
wow.
It started with the visual.
Yeah.
It started with that. And then from there, I had got a couple of honorable mentions, and I almost got a scholarship to the University of Chicago, which was taking all the general studies for the Art Institute at the time.
Wow.
And I have a piece now that's in the Smithsonian Institute from something I did at the Art Institute. So I've got a lot of exposure from them for a child for, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. And that was the first thing that started. I would get awards from the boys' club, you know, when I went to camp, you know, crafts and art, and I won awards. I've always won some kind of award one way or the other just from doing stuff. Stuff would disappear, and I said, well, what happened to that piece I did?
It's in a collection somewhere. It's in a collection. Yeah. So let me ask you, so, I mean, getting that those kind of accolades, you must have at that point thought to yourself, well, wait, maybe I can actually, maybe this is if people like it so much and I'm getting awards and people are putting it in various collections, that maybe I can actually make a career out of this. Did you think that?
Well, you know, not at first, because, you know, my mom bought me my first guitar, but she hated the fact that I played it. I think she thought maybe I was going to focus just on music, but in our house, we had to get our education, our degrees and all that.
Yeah.
That was a must.
Yeah.
And I figured I could, you know, I could still play. You know, it's funny, she hated the fact that I played it, but when company came over, I was the one she had, go get your guitar and pull it out.
It's a classic mixed feelings from a mom.
When you went to
college, did you go to get an art degree then?
Well, not at first. You know, I didn't know really what I wanted to do. I knew I had to go to school, but I didn't know what I really wanted to do. And I went into the art part, only in the commercial part of it, because I worked on Michigan Avenue, you know, back in the day. That's where it all started. I would work that in the day and then play music at night. And it was great because advertising and music kind of works together. You know, I was getting tickets to some great shows to see some great entertainers in town. I was even doing some entertainment stuff for the agency I worked for.
Mm.
So it kind of worked out. One thing led to another. But when I was going to college, they started to specialize after a while in the business of music or the business of art, the creative arts, where we think in terms of publishing and starting infrastructure, and that's what really changed my life, because then I saw arts was more than just someone just wanted to just paint pictures, but something that you could have some kind of infrastructure. You have to be a butcher, baker, or candlestick maker.
Yeah,
so
wonderful thing about you, Stan Champion, is that you have used your art and your music in a sort of activist role and to help change society. I want to explore that. We got to take a short commercial break. I'm on with Stan Champion about who I will be writing a story early in 2018. Go to, if you want to know more about him, rootsrocksociety.com. It's a great website. But I have to tell you this, play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today and stay tuned. We'll be back.
Save your sorrow for tomorrow. Smile.
That's a great voice of Petra Van Noyes and her husband Andy Brown from their latest CD. I am talking to Stan Champion, who is a artist, musician, activist. You know, it's your trip to, it seems, from little I've read about you, Stan, is you took a trip to the Caribbean and your life changed, yes?
Yes, indeed.
How so?
Well, there were some people who asked me to go down to Bob Marley's studio to do some recording because Bob Marley liked the song that they had written, and I was available to go down there and do that. And once I got to Kingston, Jamaica, because, of course, we went to Kingston, the city. We didn't go to any resorts. We went
exactly.
To the city.
Yeah.
So we got to see life as it really was down there. And number one, I was very fortunate to meet a lot of people down there. Then I learned something about, you know, culture itself, and that the whole movement is about a culture. It's more than just, you know, the hedonistic part of it. There's a history involved, you know, just such as jazz and reggae itself.
And also, that's, I mean, a lot of people think even of hip-hop as it's just this music. There are huge cultural implications involved in all these kinds of music, especially reggae.
Sure.
And you got that. I mean, much of it and much of your activism since, whether it's been on the radio or performing and talking to schools, is about social justice.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing too, Rick, you know, this is a great opportunity to give me to say this, is that I had a problem when I was a child, and it was the arts and music that got me through it,
yeah.
You know, and I had mentors that gave me advice that I actually listened to, and that it helped change my life, so I figured that I can do it for someone else.
Wow, that is such a great mission, because also, Stan Champion, at the time you're doing it, and when you go into schools, especially in some of Chicago's most beleaguered neighborhoods, you know, there are a lot of public schools that have no libraries. They have no books, let alone music or theater or art instruction. Because people think, and you know better than I, that administrators and the people running these places think, oh, well, we can do away with that. Let's test in math, and forget
right.
about the – you got – and I know you believe this, you got really lucky to be exposed to what you were exposed to, and it's made your life. And you
Certainly.
Think of these kids, you know, so you do. You were always in schools and various places spreading that message, aren't you?
And thank God for those teachers that put up with me, you know, and did certain things.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I give back, because I was a menace,
uh-huh.
you know, but I turned it all around. You know, by seventh grade, but still at the same time, you know, I know people are feeling the same way.
Yeah.
And a lot of musicians are always asking me, well, Stan, what does school pay you? And a lot of times it's not really that, because the school needs something that they really can't afford. So
exactly.
you don't give it to them because they can't pay you. You know, so it's not really that. And you get paid in so many ways, you know, if you're a true believer and if you're a true worker of wonders. And that's part of what it's all about. You know, I'm trying to be part of the healing process. There's a lot of anger, a lot of hate, and a lot of things that we went through when we came up. So it's just as much as that today. So we as elders, Rick, what are we going to do? Just say, oh, that's the way it is and let it go? Or can
well, but
we
you know, Stan,
gifts?
But you also know you're a Chicagoan. You know that there are too many people in this town who do just say, oh, the hell with it, and walk away
sure.
from it. You know?
Totally.
I mean,
that's
a lot of these teachers... A lot of these teachers are buying, you know, pencils and crayons out of their own salaries. And and people ask, ooh, well, why are these neighborhoods so dangerous and why are people shooting each other? Well, because they don't have a chance.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, and they don't have the parents that we used to have. So we have to still engage these young people because actually, Rick, they really want this love and they want this discipline. So we have to kind of be there to engage them and kind of deliver it, because everybody has an opportunity. There's always some kind of hope.
And don't you think, Stan Champion, too, and I will after the first of the year come see you do what you do, that music is a wonderful way to break, you know, when someone usually comes to a classroom to talk to the students, as you well know, I can almost remember being a student, I don't want to hear what they have to say, but music opens a door for these kids.
And I'm glad to have that gift, because it gives me a great, great opportunity to touch, you know, the boundaries that are out there, you know, or the boundlessness.
Yeah.
Because hearts are always open. And that's why I work in the hospitals, too. They call me the human get well card, because sometimes I show up in the hospitals and perform for patients and the families, which I'll be doing at La Arbita Hospital this Thanksgiving for the breakfast. And, you know, things like these are things that bring about joy. And the people, and those are pleasing in his sight. And that's the whole key to my success, by just getting out there and touching people and touching hearts, because people need to be touched no matter where.
Well, and the other thing for you, Stan, is that you get such joy. I can hear it in your voice. You get such joy in talking and playing music. And when you see that joy reflected in the eyes of a kid who has never heard a Bob Marley song, that's the payoff for you, isn't it?
Oh, certainly. And everybody has a story, and I encourage them to write their own little story, even if it's just two bars, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody has one, and then they seek. And, you know, too, Rick, the thing about music that a lot of people don't understand is that music is mathematics.
Sure.
It is history, and it's science. So music is school.
Exactly. This is, I mean, that's one of the things that infuriates me. It is music and art and theater are one of the are wonderful means of teaching what people consider the practical forms of speech and English. You know, you want, you know, okay, Shakespeare doesn't sound like someone on the street corner now, but you learn Shakespeare and you do Shakespeare, you will have a new appreciation of language.
Certainly. And language is all based, like music, is about communication. You know, if you can't communicate to your audience, then you have failed. If you can't communicate to your children, you have failed. If you can't communicate to your parents, you have failed.
And if we can't communicate to each other. Stan Champion, I will be in touch. I want to write about you because that's basically what I really do.
Well,
I like doing the radio, but because it can introduce people to people they wouldn't meet otherwise, but I'm going to introduce you in print, too. So
certainly.
I'll be in touch.
Well, I would appreciate that.
Oh, no, don't be silly. I'll appreciate it. Let me ask you before I let you go. I got 2 minutes left. How you're out there every day. You see this city. Are you able to remain hopeful?
Well, you know, always, because see, I'm a believer in God. I'm a faithful person.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm always going to be hopeful. It's a struggle and there's pain, but that was the whole reason why we were sent down here, to struggle and go through this pain in His behalf. You know, all we have to do is to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We'll be okay. When we get away from that, then there's going to be problems.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, and children have that in their heart right away. We distort them.
No question.
Into this world, you know, with these untimely things that they have to go through. So that's another thing where you have to sympathize with people. And, hey, and the older people are children, too.
No question. So. No question. Stan Champion, it is an honor to meet you over the radio. And you people out there, before I write the definitive work on him in the Tribune in 2018, go to Roots Rock Society. It's a wonderful website with tons of information about where Stan and his band are going to be playing and other things he does. He is a musician. He is a musician with a message, and I think the message is one of hope for not just kids, for everybody. Stan, it's a pleasure to meet you. Happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays and all that jazz, and I'll see you next year.
Same to you and yours.
My pleasure. Take good care. What a guy. What an interesting guy. We'll get some commercial breaks, and then we will talk about what it's like to go on a tour of Chicago with one of the great tour leaders in this town. We'll be right back.